Talking about peace today. Peace of God. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is a relationship with Jesus. Amen? Because you can go to the ocean, and I'm going to the ocean to get away from my troubles. Guess what's going to be here when you get back? Amen. Hallelujah. So make sure you read the Sunday handout. There's some good things in there about that. And so we're going to be talking about peace today. Father, I thank you for your word that is anointed. Thank you for your anointing upon me to present this word in the way that you would have it presented to the people, God. I ask you that you continue to hide me behind the cross, that I may minister your word, Father, as the anointed word of God. Amen. And I thank you for ears that are anointed to hear your word and to run with what they hear, God, and that makes a difference in their lives, and it bears fruit that remains. And that they be the church outside of this door, that they be the hands and feet and eyes and ears of Jesus on the outside of these walls, God. We thank you for that. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. You know, when you get born again and you start coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ at that point, and you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're into a relationship with God. And when you do that, you enter into a covenant with Him. And part of that covenant, one thing within that covenant is that He has promised us peace. So we enter into a covenant of peace with God as His son and daughter. And it's an accomplished peace. It's a finished peace. It is there. You have the peace of God if you are born again. You have the peace of God if you are born again. Amen? Romans 5:1-5, scripture on this says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we can confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. So this scripture tells us that when we got saved, we got the peace of God because God is peace. So we have peace resides within us. When we place our trust in Christ, we are redeemed and we're declared righteous by faith that the scripture just told us. Now over in John 14:27, very familiar passage of scripture, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not now let. That word let is a very key word. Do not let. That word is an action word. That's a word that says you have a choice. Yeah. That's right. Somebody can knock on your doors and you can either let them in, and if you don't answer the door, you're not letting them in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen? Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let, there's that word let again, let my perfect peace, or allow. That word let means to allow or to or to forbid. Either way you look at it, it's whatever you choose to do with that word let. It says, so let my perfect peace, allow my perfect peace, calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. So this here peace, now we already know that if you're born and saved by the blood of Jesus, if you're not, you have that opportunity to do before you leave today. But if you are saved, and you're a son and daughter of God, you have the peace of God within you, as we just said. The peace that Jesus is talking about here is the peace that comes from that peace for everyday living. It's brought out of us in everyday living of life. This peace that Jesus has given His disciples is a gift. In John 14:27, the Greek word for peace is E-I-R-E-N-E, and it refers to rest and tranquility. In other words, when you are allowing or you're letting the peace of God rule and reign in your heart, guess what kind of life you're going to have? A life of rest. And that's what we are called to, is a life of rest in God. Because when you are at rest, you are what? At peace. You're not letting trouble, even though there is trouble around you, you're not allowing it, you're forbidding it to be predominant in your life and to allow yourself to make decisions out of that trouble. But you're living in peace. John 14:27. I wrote that twice. So when Jesus told the disciples in John, in this particular passage of Scripture, he says, I'm leaving you with peace. It's not a guarantee that he said that I'm going to leave you this gift of peace, that you're not going to have any more difficult days. There's not going to be any more trouble. You're just going to ease through life. It was a promise that they could have peace during those times. Because, you know, it's like I said in the Sunday handout, down at the bottom, until Jesus comes and establishes lasting peace in this world in which we live, we will continue to have wars and unrest, not only nationally, but personally, in our personal lives. We're going to experience the fiery darts of the enemy. But Jesus says, if you let my peace and not let the trouble have supreme in your life, you will be at rest in me. So as long as we're living, we're going to encounter tribulation, distress, and suffering along the way. But as long as we trust the one who is peace and has given us this peace, we don't have to allow our hearts to be troubled or our lives to be troubled. So the disciples understood what he was saying because they were accustomed to trouble. If they weren't getting trouble, they were stirring up trouble wherever they went. So the troubles had got worse after they connected with Jesus. So what was different is how they thought and how they viewed the trouble. So this gift that Jesus gave his disciples, it's a peace that affects the circumstances of life. And like I said, it's the peace that God gives us from the Prince of Peace that lives inside of us to live at life every day. Everyday living is where we need the peace of God. Everyday living is where we need the Word. Because it's like I said before, this Word will be accomplished when we get to heaven. But we need help along the way. We need somebody to tell us, I've got peace in me. I heard Sunday morning that I have peace in me. The Prince of Peace lives in me. I've been given the gift of peace. And I don't have to let trouble stand in my way of having rest and peace in my life. Amen? So in every circumstance, it's peace that will calm in your heart in every situation, in every circumstances, and every storm of life. So this is the peace that Paul talks about in Philippians. And if anybody knew what to preach about peace, it was Paul and all the things that he went through. In Philippians 4, 6 through 9, it says, Paul tells us, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. You want to experience God's peace? Don't worry. Because remember what I said one time, that worry was like a rocking chair? All you do is rock and you never get nowhere. When you're weary and stressed out and not allowed to have the peace of God to have rule and dominance in your life, it's not going to change the end of your circumstance. It's not going to change your trouble. Matter of fact, it'll probably make it worse. Then you will experience God's peace or his rest, and which exceeds anything you can understand. Now listen to this. His peace, the gift of peace that God has given you, will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. There's that relationship again. Relationship again. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Paul says to fix your thoughts on these things. What is true, what is honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So when you're in your rocking chair and you're wearying, all you're doing is this, thinking about your troubles. What is the outcome going to be? And you're like, well, if I knew what the outcome would be, I would have to worry. That's not trust. So what are you thinking on when you're sitting there? Instead of worrying, Think on the things that are right. Think on the things that are, think on the things that are, what does he say up here? Think on the things that he has done for you. Think on the things that, of what he's going to do and what he is doing. Think about the things that is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Keep putting into practice. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So Paul said, if you'll take what I'm telling you here, put all this I'm telling you into practice, because some people think all they have to do is come to church, hear the word, and it'll work. It's like Pastor Laverne said a while ago. You have to believe. It's not how many times you quote the scripture that's going to cause something to happen for you. It's when you, as you quote, and it's good to do that a lot, because it builds up your faith. But that in and of itself, reading this, is not going to cause it to happen, because it's already happened. Jesus paid the price and said it's finished. Amen? But what happens is when we continually learn about the peace of God, talk about the peace of God, know that we have the peace of God, quote scriptures on the peace of God over and over again, it builds up our faith to believe, yes, God did that for me. And soon, and very soon, I'll see the manifestation of what he has promised. Amen? So the peace of God is not based on circumstances. Paul says it's a peace that surpasses our understanding. Have you ever, there's been times in my life that I have been so much at peace with a situation, the enemy has tried to make me feel guilty about it. Has anybody ever been there? That you have been so much at peace at something, and everybody around you is going, and you're thinking, well, maybe I ought to feel bad. Maybe I ought to worry about this. Don't believe that lie of the devil. That's the gift of peace that's operating in you. Amen? So if you're at such peace about something, that doesn't mean that you're not believing. That means that you are believing in something greater than yourself to work out that situation. Amen? So lay your head down tonight and rest and give it to God. Peace that exists in the midst of the problems and troubles we go through. A divine peace, a supernatural peace that other people around you may not understand. When they're wringing their hands and going berserk, you're standing there singing the hallelujah song. Because you know in whom you believe. The word translated guard in this particular passage of scripture in Philippians that Paul gave us, it's a word that is used in a military sense. And it means to stand at a post and guard it against the aggression of the enemy. Amen. So when you are when you are standing in peace and you have peace that other people around you don't understand, and you don't even understand, you just accept it as truth because God said it, that peace is like a guard standing over your heart. And no doubt or anything else can penetrate that. So look at peace as a guard over your heart and over your understanding. Hallelujah. A word used in a military sense, meaning to stand at a post and guard against the aggression of the enemy. Peace is guarding your heart today. Glory to God. Peace is guarding your heart against any trouble. And so when the peace of God is on guard, the Christian can withstand and stand again in the day of trouble. So the name of the fortress of Jesus and the guard is peace. Peace. So Philippians 4:7 says, this peace shall guard your hearts and minds secure through Christ Jesus. Jesus gave us another promise in John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me, there's that relationship again, church. In me, you may have peace. In this world, this world system, this world's way of doing things, that's why when you are at peace and you're not ringing around and screaming and crying about everything that's going on, this world system, that's how they do things. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. Jesus said, because I have overcome the world, I give you peace and I give you an anointing to overcome this world system also. You are in it, but you're not of it, church. Amen. You are of something more powerful. You're of the kingdom of God. So he said, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That word trouble there means pressed down. It means squashed. It means against anything that is free. Anything that is free. That's what that word trouble means. Jesus says, the word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Troubles come into your life to press you down, to squash you down, to shut you up so that you'll give up. Amen. Jesus said, I have come to set you free. And whom the Son sets free is what? It's free indeed. And you know what being free is? Is knowing who you are in God. And in knowing because of the anointing and because of His Word and because of the covenant that you're in, that brings you freedom. That you can be who you are and who you are called to be. Some of you are older than, you know, if I was calling people that were younger up that was getting ready to start in your life. There are some of you sitting right here this morning that have dreams in your heart far back as you can remember. But because of situations and circumstances in your life, the enemy has come along and caused that trouble to come in your life that has caused you to be pressed down, that has caused you to be squashed. And every once in a while, that dream and that desire, that thing has popped back up in you again. That's the Holy Spirit saying, it's not too late. I do not consider age as an opportunity, as a missed opportunity to go into what I have called you. So he says, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, step out of your comfort zone and go back and revisit the dream I gave you as a youth. And God says, when you revisit that dream and you say, okay, God, I am going to learn, I'm going to run with this. God says, I'm going to give you what you need in this season in your life to accomplish it. He says, I'm going to give you the finances. I'm going to give you the people. I'm going to give you I even heard building. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. He says, I'm either going to give you the building and the location because the dream and thing I've put in your heart has a specific geographic location. God wants to place you geographically where you are supposed to be. And I'm thinking, Lord, I hope you don't move nobody else off. That's okay. You go and you pursue the dream that God has given you. Yes. And he says, when you step out of that comfort zone, you step out of that comfort zone, he says, I'm going to meet you there. Amen. Anybody in the house receive that word today? Amen. Glory to God. And I also hear him said, I'm going to take your life experiences because that's what's held you back. You have thought, Lord, I cannot step out because I've been through this and I've been through that. And what's people going to say? Someone like me doing this. He said, I'm going to take your life experiences as a stepping stone of strength into your destiny.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And whoever this is for, God says, in 3 days, I'm going to confirm that word to you. And when he does, I want you to come and tell me. This is what you said, not so that I could gloat on it, but as a confirmation to yourself and to what the Holy Spirit is saying. That was the word for me, and this is what's happened since then. God gave this young man over a powerful word. And I said, Caitlin, you'll have to explain this to him later, what all that meant. Because all this is new to him. And she whispered, she said, Shirley, this is the third time this week that God has said that same thing to him.
Amen.
I think God has got you. Amen. Hallelujah. It only gets better from here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, my, I see you doing great and awesome things for God, young man. Glory God. I see you doing awesome, awesome things for God. Hallelujah. Your shoes are not nearly big enough to fulfill what God has called you to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Woo. Thank you, Jesus. So God's peace is one of the benefits that we have as children of God. That's one of his benefits. He said, I daily load you with benefits. I daily load you with benefits. You get up in the morning and you say, I'm expecting this phone call and it may or not be good, but God, you have loaded me with the benefit of peace. I have so much peace, whatever that report is, whatever I hear today, peace is guarding my heart. And when that situation comes, it's just going to bounce off. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's peace is one of the benefits that we have as His children. I think I'll quit here and just start prophesying a little bit. Is that okay? Yeah. Hallelujah. Heather.
Amen.
And your...
Josh.
Yeah. What's your husband's name? I am so sorry. What?
Josh.
I was wanting to call you Jake. You know Jake. God says that you are not dreaming big enough. You both have an anointing on your life to do bigger than what you're dreaming. So He says, I want you to enlarge the borders of your tent and begin to believe bigger, begin to see bigger, and begin to bring out that which I have placed within you. And as you begin to do that, God says, I'm going to give you the plan. I'm going to give you the plan. I'll cross every dot. I'll cross every T. I'll dot every I. But He said, just begin to just bring that out of you. Let that anointing come out of you. And let yourself begin to express the talents and the gifts that God has placed within you.
Amen.
And this is the season that God's calling you forth to do more. Amen. Not just within the church, but within life in particular. That you take what you hear and hear and you go out there. You know, and begin to do what God has called you to do. Not just in here, but out there. Amen. You have such an anointing on your life. Amen. And God's going to use that. God's going to use that to show forth His glory in the earth for such a time as this. You're here for a reason. And in this season, God is going to show Himself faithful to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The gift of peace that has been given to us is a peace that deals with our past. Because we have a peace from the guilt of our past that we are forgiven.
Yes, that's right.
A peace that deals with our present when the trials come and the troubles come. Encounters the present. They are already overcome. Amen. And a peace with a guard promise, a guaranteed promise for our future.
Yes.
We, our future destiny in Christ, our eternal future is secure. If you've been born again, you can't unborn yourself. Even Nicodemus asked Jesus that question. How can a man be born again? You know, if you're born again spiritually, you're born again spiritually. You may be acting stupid and doing stupid stuff. You're still God's child and He still loves you. You just need to pick up, dust yourself off, and go on and quit being so hard on yourself. You haven't arrived and neither have I. Amen. The peace that God gave us is not as the world gives. The world provides peace by removing the things that are troubling us. Thank God for counselors out there that do a little bit of good. But the best counselor you can have is the Word of God. It's what the Word says. You know, they said, you remove all this stuff in your life, then everything will be okay. But 6 months later, you hear them relapsing and stuff because they're not replacing that longing with a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Jesus provides peace in spite of what may be troubling us. That's why you cannot drink enough to get rid of your troubles. That's why you can't smoke a joint long enough or big enough to get rid of your troubles. That's why you can't go to the ocean to get rid of your troubles. That's why you can't divorce your spouse and get another one because you're going to bring the same trouble into that relationship.
Right. Amen.
Amen? The only way to deal with your troubles is through the peace of knowing who you are in Jesus and that you're in a covenant relationship with Him. Heavenly peace is permanent and secure. God told us a while ago, I'm not a God of quick fixes. I'm a God of permanent solutions. And when I give you a permanent solution to your situation, it will stick and it will outlast. Worldly peace is conditional. Worldly peace, the peace the world has to offer is outward, while the peace we have comes from the inside out. Amen? Because what you have in here comes When you were born again, you got everything everything you've got to be a child of God. That's why we quote the word and bring what's in here out.
Amen.
Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace. That means mature peace. That means a peace that's been established. In him whose mind is steadfast. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast, not wavering. Not wavering, because he trusts in you. In order to have a relationship that works, there must be trust. There must be trust. Amen. When we trust in God and keep our minds focused on him, we then will have perfect peace, and that goes back to relationship again. That's all Jesus wants with you, church, is a relationship. And in order to have a relationship with someone, there has to be relating. You have to relate to them. And that comes with communication. Communication is prayer. And prayer is simply talking to God. Not with thee, thou, thou. But simply just talking to God.
Amen.
You know. And it's okay to get mad at him because he's got big shoulders. It's all right to cry on his shoulders because he's got big shoulders. You know, when God was first calling me to preach, I'd get mad at him. I ain't talking to you. He handled it. It's okay. When situations come that test your trust, Satan's goal is to cause us to falter in our faith. And the first thing he begins to tell us is, if God said, he still used the same trick he used on Eve. He just uses it in different ways on the people today. If God said, why are you experiencing this trouble? If you said, why are you going through this? If we allow our minds to get pulled off track, then we'll be taking our focus off. It's what pulls us off track. It's what pulls us off track. But when our minds are fixed on him, we won't be troubled or be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. My peace, perfect peace. Let's look at Jesus and what caused him to walk in peace. You remember when he was in his disciples were in the boat and the storm was raging? He was asleep. That's what you do when you have perfect peace. Because he gives his beloved sweet sleep. You can lay down at night and not have to walk the floors at night because that's perfect peace. That is peace. Because you can lay down and you can say, well, there's no use in me and God staying up. So he can stay up and I'll sleep.
Right.
Amen. Because you know that he's guided. So when he and his disciples were in the boat, he was asleep. He wasn't freaking out like his disciples were. When the religious leaders were contentious with him, he didn't start flipping out. He maintained his control. He was at peace. When he was being arrested, he was at peace. And when Jesus spoke to them in John 16:33, peace I leave with you. That was just a few days before he got hung on the cross and he knew what was going to happen. But he was willing to give that peace to them. And willingly gave that peace to us when we accepted him. So when he was being stripped and beaten and nailed to the cross, he was at peace. How? He chose a connection. It goes back to relationship. He chose a connection with his Father, and he never took his focus off of what his goal was. And that was to be like his Father, and we're to be like Jesus. Amen. Doing what Jesus did. Because he knew there was no reason to doubt. And he knew that there was no reason to fear. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all men. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, there's that word, and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Father, we thank you that we have your peace, that gift of peace that lives inside of us, the Prince of Peace that lives inside of us. And no matter what we're facing and what we're going through or what we're walking through, that you're there with us and that you're holding us tight and that you will not let us go. Thank you for this word today, God. That has encouraged us to rest in the peace that you've given us. And we don't have to know the details of situations or the outcome or anything, God, because we know that you have it. And you just show us what to do day by day as we're walking through these things with you by our side. And we thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray for every person that has been part of this service today. I thank you, God, that they're highly favored of the Lord, and I speak your blessings upon them. And that everything and everyone they come in contact with, Lord, that they're favored to be a blessing to them. With words, Father, or finances, whatever you lay in their hands to do, God. And I just thank you, Lord, that you help us dream big. That we begin to let ourselves out of the box and to say, I hear you, God. I see you, God. I thank you, Father, that we're the head and not the tail. That we are courageous and we are bold in this season, Father. We thank you for your word that you've given us from Jim, God. That the fresh wind of your spirit is moving, and it's moving things that we thought were so immovable. We welcome the sweet wind of the Holy Spirit to blow through this church, God, and to blow over our lives and move out anything that's not of you. Now, Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you that this is the first day of this week, God, and that we don't have Monday morning blues, but we have Monday morning joy because we know who we are in relationship with. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen.